Okay, good evening.
Good
evening. We have two parashiyot today that are ending the book of Shmot. Vayakhel Pikudei. One of the very important points in the parasha, Vayakhel, for example, is that we're now really talking about building the Mishkan. And again, we go through the details and more details. The Torah is telling us, "Vayomer Moshe el kol adad bnei Israel, pasuk daled, le'emor, ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem le'emor. Kchu mi'itchem truma la'Hashem, kol nediv libo yevi'ea." We're talking again about Shabbos. Sheshet yamim ta'aseh melachtech melacha, v'yom ha'shvi'i sha'yeh lachem. Why do we talk again about Shabbos? Last parasha we talk about Shabbos. This parasha about Shabbos. Because Shabbos is very important. Nevertheless, it's more important than building the Mishkan. In other words, on Shabbos you don't build the Mishkan. Even though the Mishkan is for the Torah and so we very, very important, Shabbos is more important. And by the way, when we talk about Shabbos, we say, what is the most important day in the year? So a lot of people will say Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, etc., etc. But the very simple fact is that the most important day in the year is Shabbos. In other words, we have it every week. Because Shabbos is Me'en Olam Haba. And it's our connection to the next world. And this is why it's so important. And the Torah here is also mentioning this fact that before we talk about the Mishkan, Sheshet Yamim Ta'aseh Melacha. You work 6 days. Yom HaShvi'i, Kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton LaHashem, Kol HaOseh Bo Melacha Yumat. No job, no work on Shabbos. And then we talk about the Mishkan, telling us that this job of the Mishkan, the work, you don't do on Shabbos. But there is something more important than the Mishkan and from the Shabbos. Bukh Atah Adonino Eloheinu Melech HaOlam She'Hakol Nehiyah Bidvaro. And what is this? What is more important than the Mishkan and from Shabbos? Any idea?
And from Shabbos?
Yes. Yes.
Study Torah? Are you talking about a day? Or are you talking about a...
I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about, so there is no question.
What is more important than Shabbos?
Not than Shabbos.
Yes, also from Shabbos.
From Shabbos. Come.
And from the Mishkan. Human being is more important than everything.
Human being, health.
Yes, yeah. Because the whole world was built for us, and if there is a danger, you mechalel Shabbos to save life.
Yeah. Right.
So, what is more important?
Human life.
You have to put it in your head because people sometimes make mistakes. You know, the most important thing is human being himself. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's why this whole creation was created for us. Mm-hmm. And we are more important than anything else. Because without us, there is nothing. And this is like to show us how God loves us. Because the Mishkan, you can say, the Mishkan is for God. It's really, the root truth is, it's for us, not for God. God doesn't need all these things. Then you would say, Shabbos is for God. The truth also here is for us. But if you don't really understand this, so Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you, if there is saving life on Shabbos, you mechalel Shabbos with no problem. And it could be Shabbos and Yom Kippur and whatever it is. And even if there is only a very, very, let's say, 1%, 0.5% that you can save him, you still have to do it. Okay. So now we'll talk about something else. In our parasha, there is a very interesting fact. The Torah is telling us, Perek.
Lamed.
Lamed Hey.
Hey.
It's still on a day, let me see. What parak is this? Lamed Hei. Yes, Lamed Hei. Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed.
Lamed is...
Vayomer Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Re'u Kara Hashem. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Vayomer Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Re'u Kara Hashem B'Shem B'Tzal'el Ben Uri Ben Hur Lematei Yehuda. Moses is telling the children of Israel, look and see, here God calls Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur lematei Yehuda. Vayimale oto ruach Elokim. And will fill him the spirit of God, bechokhmah, wisdom, tvunah, bedad, bechol melacha. Lachshom machshavot, lasub zav hakesef, bechule, bechule, bechule. Pasuk lamed taled. Uleorot natan belibo. Hu, he, and... Oliav ben Achisamach lematei Dan. Now, when somebody is going to ask us who built the Mishkan, who was in charge, who was the architect of the Mishkan, everybody will say
Bezalel.
That's what we all know. We forget that there is. We always forget that there is another guy there, which is called Oliav ben Achisamach lematei Dan, and it's very interesting that we never remember him. When people are going to ask us, who built the Mishkan? Bezalel.
It's easier to say Bezalel.
Yeah, it's very easy.
Uh-huh. Because there is a school here in Israel that is called Bezalel.
The question is, first of all,
Why we forget him?
The second question is, why there are a lot of other people who were involved in building the Mishkan. Mm-hmm. We're sure about it. Okay. Why is only those two names mentioned? Why are they all the only one who mentioned? But if we look very carefully, we'll find out a very interesting fact. The first one is from the tribe of Judah, which is the highest society of Am Yisrael. Mm-hmm. The second one is from the lowest level of the society of Am Yisrael, which is Shevet Dan.
Why? Because they were married with the...
Why is the Torah telling us about only two people that dealing with the Mishkan, while we know that everybody was dealing with it, as we said, Kol Yisrael, and there's Asu.
Somebody has to be the leader, the head, the CFO.
So normally you have one leader.
No, but Hashem gives...
And when people ask you, what do you say? Bezalel.
But Moshe is written, Hashem gave them wise, they given how to work. These two people, so they were the leaders. They were like the architects, the tailor that makes shoes.
Okay, all right. So go to Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Aleph.
Lamed Vav Pasuk Aleph, I am here.
Ve'asa Bezalel ve'Oliav.
In
other words, they were not alone.
Yeah.
There were other people.
No, of course, they were.
So why is the Torah only taking two names? And look what's happening here. One name is from the one side of the map, and the other name is from the other side of the map. Okay. To tell us
maybe
a very...
To show that they covered all... sides. From the top to the bottom.
Everybody had a share, and everybody can do, and everybody can become from the top, even if he comes from the bottom. It's a big lesson, because sometimes some people think that they are more important than others.
Really?
Yes. And it happens everywhere. Even with the ultra-Orthodox Jews, and even sometimes even more, because they look at those who are not ultra-Orthodox or not scholars, like, who are you? Yeah. I am a big scholar, I know Torah, I know this, I know that. Looking down at other people is a wrong thing to do. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they say in Parashat Aman, twice, V'nachnu ma, we are nothing. Moshe and Aaron, which were the greatest people in Am Yisrael. And here the Torah is telling us, you don't look down at people. Because your partner can be from the lowest part of society and still be equal to you. Because it's written very clearly that both of them are at the same level.
Yeah, that's it.
Ve'asa Bezalel ve'Oliav. And now what is written? Ve'asa. Not ve'asu.
In singular.
That each one of you.
Because they were like one. In other words, they are equal. So from one point of view, you don't look down at other people. From the other side, there's also those who think that they are nothing. They come from a broken home. They come from a bad environment. They think, I've got no chance. I am a miskin. I am poor. I am not clever. I am nothing. The Torah is turning. A Jew is never nothing. A Jew has got always powers. And it doesn't matter where you come from. You are equal to each one of your friends, and even if he is not your friend, and it can be the highest level, he is like you. And that's why the Torah is using...
It's a sin to say that I am nothing, yes, because Hashem created you and you need to... And you are always someone.
No.
It's not a sin to say I am nothing.
The sin is to say I am nothing and do nothing.
Okay.
That's nothing. Mm. The idea is, I am nothing... Whatever I've got is from Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me power to use them. That's why we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, ve'nachnu ma. We are nothing. Says we, as a creature of God, by ourselves, without God, what are we? No. Nothing. Everything we've got is from God. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea behind it. That's why the Torah is choosing here two figures from two sides, like two opposites. Not, let's say, this tribe, the other tribe. No, two opposites to teach us the lesson that each one of us has got powers and you don't look down at people and you don't feel depressed or you feel low or you feel like nothing in the aspect of you have power from God. And that's a big lesson, because in order to build a Mishkan, which we talk about a spiritual thing, that the symbol is a physical thing, we should all understand and realize that we are equal. Now, equal, and that's a big mistake of people. People think that being equal means that we do the same thing. This is stupid. This was the communist idea, but we all know it didn't work. Because we are not equal this way. We are equal in the abilities, use our abilities, because God gave us certain abilities, so each one of us has the right and has to use what God gave him to do the best he can. And equal means that if I do the job God gave me and you do the job that gave you, we are equal. Yeah, but you're a manager and I'm just a worker. Yes, but at the eyes of God, you fulfilled your task, and I fulfilled my task, and that's what. So are we equal? Because a neshama is something spiritual. So each neshama gets a job, and this job has to be done. And we don't judge other people because we don't know what the job is. It doesn't matter if he's got a big kippah, a small kippah, a hat, no hat, a beard, no beard. Doesn't matter, because each one of us is put in a certain environment with certain abilities. So we cannot compare.
Right.
And this is how you build a Mishkan. When you understand and realize that Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Baze. That's the idea. That's what we are wishing for. Doesn't work always, but we have to try. And that's what the Torah is trying to tell us. And then the Torah is telling us something very important. Pasuk Bet in Perek Lamed Vav. Vayikra Moshe el Betzalel ve'Eliav ve'el kol ish
Chacham.
No, Chacham Lev.
Lev.
What does it mean, Chacham Lev?
Intelligent by, in the heart.
Where is wisdom?
In the brain.
In the brain. So what does it mean, Chacham Lev?
That he uses, that is maybe
he has to be Chacham, but he used to use his left and not only the brain.
I don't know if, I think I told you, but last year when I've been in Guangzhou in China. I came on Friday and I had, whenever I come to a place where I don't exactly know what's going on around, I'm looking where is the Jewish community, if it's Bet Chabad or whatever, in order on Shabbos, not trying looking for it because, you know, you can miss everything. So on Friday noon, so I'm going around there and with the address of Bet Chabad in Chinese and asking people how to get there. Of course, everybody's talking Chinese, no English, no nothing. Nobody understands what I want
and
from
even
him.
If they speak English.
And when I show them the address, they show me here and there and there, and I get nowhere. I see a bus stop, so I approach this girl, and I show her, can you show me from this address? She says, come with me. She's going with me, and we're going right, left, that. She's asking people. So we're going, I'm looking 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Wow.
We get nowhere. So I'm feeling upset from one side. On the other side, I'm feeling, no, this girl is going with me.
She's
around.
Going.
No, it's not right. I said, okay, thank you. Do like this, you do. Okay, thank you. So after half an hour, I managed to get rid of her. Because I'm going nowhere. She doesn't understand what I'm talking about. She's got the will to help me, but she cannot help me. So what's the use of it? So I'm going, I don't know what to do. So it's starting to get late. And then I see this girl parking a car, so I approach her and I ask her
another
in English.
Girl.
Yes, another girl.
Only girl.
I go only with girls. And then I ask her, sorry, do you know this address? She says, and she's answering in English. She says, oh, Baruch Hashem, English, okay. Can you help me? Yes, of course, I help you. Okay, come with me. And she's asking people and going around. We got up and then she comes near this house and says, here, I live here. And when you go, you go left, right, and left, and then you get to Bet Chabad. I says, okay, thank you. No, I'm going with you. Don't worry. No, I don't need. You told me where to go. You're going around with me for 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Wow.
Thank you very much. No, it's no problem. I'm going with you.
Sorry.
She took me to the door of Bet Chabad. Then I asked him, but what is God trying to tell me? And I think this was Parashat Vayakel. What is the wisdom of the heart? This is the wisdom of the heart. You know, the first girl, she had the heart. She wanted to help me, but she didn't have the wisdom. She didn't know the language. So what does it tell? Nothing. The other girl, she had the wisdom and she had the heart. So this is why you need both. Only when you connect the wisdom with the heart, then you do something. If the wisdom is by itself, also nothing. If the heart is by itself, nothing. For example, in order to make it a little even, more understandable, it's not only on this effect. It's, for example, we know Ma'arat HaMachpelah, yes? Who is buried in Ma'arat HaMachpelah?
Our forefathers and four mothers.
Adam, Chava, Abraham, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Yaakov, Rachel. No,
Leah.
And there is something else buried there. The head of Esav. Why is the head of Esav in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah and not the whole body? And what is Esav at all doing with all those our ancestors, our great tzaddikim fathers? What is Esav HaRasha doing there?
He was part of them.
Because he gives kavod to his father.
So put the whole body there, why only the head?
Because the heart was...
The lev, to give kavod to a father, you need to have a lev, no?
But the lev is not there, only the head.
Wisdom? Because he has only the wisdom and interest to give kavod, and
not the
heart. Not the heart. He didn't
the head was not connected to the body.
Yeah.
You see, people, we talked about it in the past a few times, people think that Esav looks like a villain with tattoos and earrings. And Esav looked exactly like Yaakov. They were both raised in the house of Yitzchak. What was the difference? And Esav knew exactly what Yaakov knows.
Inside.
He was not stupid. The problem was that Yaakov, what he knew, he did. Esav, he wanted to enjoy life. So he knew that it's not wrong. And he knew he has to do other things, but the head was not connected with the heart, with the whole body. The same way as we say, this doctor was telling you you're not allowed to smoke and it's dangerous. And then you see him outside smoking. He also, his knowledge is not connected with the body. You know it's dangerous, why do you smoke? And that's exactly the point. If you don't connect the head, the seichel, the wisdom with the heart, you have a problem. So in other words, in order to build a Mishkan, you need the connection between the heart and the mind, and the seichel. This is Chacham Lev. Otherwise, you cannot build a Mishkan. So when we're talking about Chacham Lev, amen, wisdom. If we have wisdom by itself.
But it explains what it says here. I mean, Chacham Lev, it says, Asher Natan Hashem Chachma Balibo. They gave him wisdom in his heart.
Because that's what you should do. So as the Rav Nebelzahn says, it's like you have two pipes. One is wisdom, and the other one is the heart, or you call it the body. Okay? Now, if the pipe of the wisdom is not connected with the body, is anything happening?
No.
Nothing. You have to connect them. The same way we are built. We have the neshama, which is spiritual, in a body, which is physical. The body is connected to earth. The neshama is connected to heaven. Now, if we take the neshama out, can the body do anything?
No.
Can the neshama do anything?
No.
In other words, if I don't connect them together, nothing happening.
That's right.
That's why we need to connect the knowledge with our heart. Because otherwise, nothing will happen. And that's the first lesson. Then we have another interesting point. Pasuk.
There's more to it, I think, here than... I mean, the way he says, Asher Natan Hashem Chachma Balibo, doesn't say Asher Natan Chachma Berosho. I think it also has to do with the fact that, you know, they had to have like an artist kind of soul. They had to be, you know, artistic.
To have the power to do what
to
build.
To work on them. In other words, that it wasn't just the intelligentsia who wouldn't know how to hammer a nail. Or someone who, you know, who had chachma b'libo, but because he had an artistic, a more ethereal kind of wisdom.
You see, one of the points is very interesting. It's like when we talk about the sin of the golden calf, there were only 3,000 people that really sinned and they were killed. All the others didn't really sin. So why are we getting punished? It says, "Bayom pokdi upakadati." Because
they didn't stop.
In other words, they were apathetic, didn't care. Now the point is, if they didn't care about this, maybe they don't. Also, the worshipping of God was not exactly with enthusiasm. They were not like in fire. They were like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It's like one day I'm sitting in shul and this guy with sitting with his child, and after they finished davening, he says, okay, we can do a V. We did it. We did our duty. This is the way you educate your kid. And years later, his kid left the religion. He's not religious today. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. If your father is telling you that go to daven to God is the duty and not a privilege, It's a problem. You know, when people came to the States from Europe. They had a very big problem, the Jews, mm-hmm. because in the States they used to work on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And if somebody didn't want to work on Shabbos, he was fired. And people needed to do jobs. They didn't have anything. So a lot of people worked on Shabbos. But there were others that just didn't care about anything and didn't work on Shabbos. And they were fired every week, and every second week they had to look for a new job.
My grandfather opened his own business.
Everybody did. It's very for us. It's very easy to talk today.
Yeah.
But for them, it's most difficult coming to a new country
without money,
and you have a family. You have to provide. So it's very hard to blame anybody who did what he did. It's not easy to understand it. And there was something very interesting. I think it's connected with Rav Moshe Feinstein there were two families that were keeping Shabbos. They didn't care about anything. But one family, all the children become scholars, Talmidei Chachamim, rabbis. And the other family, all the children left the religion. And people didn't understand. How could it be? Both families were keeping Shabbos.
How they kept Shabbos? That's different.
It's not how. It's what did the father do when he came home after he was fired. So one family, yeah. The father came home happy. It's Baruch Hashem.
Right, the atmosphere.
I am Jew and I did it. Also now, and we are going to keep Shabbos in a proper way. He was happy about it. He was dancing. The other family, the father came, oh, Gewalt. It's terrible. Again, I had to
look for another
job. I have to look for I got fired again because I don't work on Shabbos. So the children, the two families, they saw two approaches. The first family they saw, it's a good thing. You are Jewish, you keep Shabbos, and that's the most important thing in life, and it's joyful. It's a great thing. The other family, it's terrible to be a Jew. It's not a good thing. So the first family, they become rabbis, Talmidei Chachamim, kept everything. The other family, they left. Because if you look on the religion as a duty, you're doing a big mistake. Somebody asked me this week, yes, but you know, he's still keeping the mitzvah. It's wrong. It's wrong to say it's not good. He says, you're right. He's keeping the mitzvah. But that's not the way to educate a kid. If you want your kid to stay religious or to go in the right way, you have to show him that the right way is a good way. If you show him that the right way, and by the way, it's in all kinds of things in life. Not only in religion.
Yeah.
When you see, like, for example, you see a father which is in a certain profession and the children are going and doing the same, what does it mean? That the father enjoyed his job and the children saw it, so they went also to this same job. So you see families of lawyers, you see families of accountants, you see families of merchants and doctors. Yeah. From those you see families that the father did one thing and the children are going to the other side. Why? Because the father didn't like the job. And he told his children, I don't want you to do this job. Or they felt it. In other words, when you see that the children are doing what the parents did, it means that the parents show them that that's a good way. So in other words, if you want to pass any message...
get the money.
It's not only money. I have to tell you a story. I had a friend, I had a very good friend and in high tech, and he worked for a certain company, and he got a certain salary, which was very nice. Then he got an offer, double the salary, and he's going to be the...
CEO?
Like, the CEO. The highest level of the company, only he had this guy on top of him. Okay. Yeah. Who would say no?
No.
Who would say no?
Nobody.
So we went. Half a year later, I'm meeting him. No, how is this for a new job? I left. I got back to my old job. He says, what? says, what? So you don't understand. Everything that was doing was good, he took the credit. Everything that was wrong, he blamed me.
Well, he needed him.
He says, I felt terrible. When I did something good, he took the credit. When something was going wrong and it didn't have anything to do with me, everybody was blaming me. I said, I know, I want to come happy home. I don't want the money. I want to feel a match. I don't want to be this ball that everybody is hitting. And sometimes there are things that are more important than money. I'm not saying if somebody's got no money, of course. But we're talking more money or less money is not always a reason that I'm going to choose this job or the other job. Because you see, Teva, for example, Teva, the pharmaceutical firm,
yes.
I always remember it's was unbelievable. Years ago, when I went in, we were supplying them furniture. In every corner, they had coffee machines. They bought ping pong tables from us. They did things for the workers, unbelievable. Workers felt at home there. Still they had the kaitana on summer. I know.
That's what Google
did. But they were the first. Today, all the high-tech firms are doing it. But then they were the pioneers. They did it the first. But the salaries were not very high. They were very clever. But still, nobody left. Why?
They felt good.
They felt good. They had the best condition. They had lunch. Best food there is.
Yeah.
And here, who built the Mishkan also had the best conditions.
So, in other words,
yeah,
it's not only the money.
Yes.
It's much more than it, and that's exactly the idea. When you are happy where you are, everything you do looks different, and it's got also good influence on your environment, on your family, and of course on your children. So in order to build a Mishkan, this is not something that is going to be for 10 years, 20 years. This is something forever. This is something that you have to pass to the next generation. So you need the wisdom of the heart. You need to do it with connection with the heart, not only with the mind. And this is one of the biggest problems, that not always we connect both together. I know wisdom by itself can be a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Einstein, the power, all this thing that the knowledge he had, could be used for the best and unfortunately also was used for the worse. If you don't connect the wisdom with the heart, you've got nothing. And it's all around the Mishkan, because it's all, you see, the one of the biggest problems is, and that's what we see in the next parasha, the golden calf. Am Yisrael, they're called Dor De'ah, generation of knowledge. De'ah, by the way, in Judaism, is connection.
What is
De'ah? De'ah. Uh-huh. When we Ata chonen la'adam da'at, we say in Tefillat Shmoneh Esrei, the real explanation behind it, it's not only knowledge or wisdom, it's connection with God, or on the Kabbalah they say it's a connection between the head and the body. Mm-hmm. Because if you have the knowledge and you don't use it in the right way, you've got nothing. So that, by the way, here, when Bezalel is being given that, Rashi is explaining Ruach HaKodesh.
I understood always that is when you take the knowledge and you apply. It is in English.
You have Chochmah,
Binah,
Vedat. What is Chochmah?
Chochmah is the sparkle from the wisdom. The wisdom, the sparkle.
It's the knowledge. From Hashem. The knowledge. Let's call it knowledge.
Okay.
What is Bina?
Bina is the understanding.
And using it and creating. Bina. No. And creating new things. That's Bina.
Everything is Bina?
Not everything.
No, but.
That is the connection.
is when you interact, how is in English, when you internalize the all
internalize.
The oh,
internalize.
Internalize everything that you learn
and you understand and you apply and you do something about it.
Yeah, you do,
in other words, the connection with the real world.
Yes.
You can think highly, but do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole wisdom and the knowledge is nothing because you don't use it.
Yes.
So in other words, the connection between what you know and what you do is that.
Yeah.
Or, at a higher level, the connection between us and God is that. It's written, Ve'adam yada et ishto. What does it mean, Ve'adam yada et ishto? And Adam knew his wife? No. What does it mean?
Connected with
Yada is a connection.
Sexual thing. Yeah.
It's more than a sexual thing. It's a connection.
Yeah,
a sexual thing is a connection. But the deep meaning of it is, we look at it as a dirty thing. It's not a dirty thing. It's a pure thing. It's a pure thing. It's the purest thing that can be. If it is from the right point of view.
Right.
And that's everything in life. People think that being religious means you have to suffer. Ma pitom. You have to be happy.
Depends what religion.
That we're saying, that's it.
Right.
That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point.
Right.
The goyim think that being religious means I have to separate myself from all the joys of life.
Asceticism.
Yeah.
That's not religion, not ours.
No.
Our religion is God gave us tools, God gave us a world to use. And we have to use it.
And be happy.
Not abuse it, use it in the right way. And be happy. Because if you use it in the right way, you are happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wisdom of the heart. Yes. Now, the dog they are, knowledge, they knew, they were connected to God. They go and do the golden calf, okay, they didn't do it. But they set aside, what was going around their mind? Maybe they didn't have this itlavut, this enthusiastic to do the worship of God. That's why they didn't care. And if you don't care, you see people doing wrong thing, and you go on with your life. That was the biggest sin. The biggest sin in life is to be apathetic to what's happening around you.
But, so we came always to the same point.
Yes.
Today, nowadays.
Yes.
We see a lot of people doing a long of, I don't speak even about the not religious. I'm talking about a few new religious. They are doing a lot of wrong things.
Yes.
And we don't do anything also.
So is it right or wrong?
It's wrong.
But Kashan, what do you want? That's what I'm saying.
But
that's what you're saying.
But
now, first of all, we agree that it's wrong.
Okay.
Now the thing is, what do we do?
Ah.
Do we go on with life and don't care about it? So we are in the sin of the golden calf.
That's right.
But we care, but we don't.
I care, I complain, I suffer, but what can I do?
You did.
Complains.
That's exactly the point. No. The idea is, I cannot just go through the day without taking any notice. The minute I'm taking notice, it means that I care. When I care, it means that my heart is in it. And when your heart is in it, that's what we're talking about. All the other things, they are side effects. You can be successful, not successful, that's a different issue. The thing is, you are not allowed to be with no comment or
apathetic.
Not caring, apathetic. You're not allowed. That's the biggest sin there is.
Yeah. Follow the majority. Go with the
And that's exactly
the
what
wind, like
what was happening with this knowledge generation. So how did they fix it? When Moshe Rabbeinu is asking them to bring money, gold, silver, and all the things. You know how quickly they did it?
Mm.
In 2 days, they had everything. They brought so much. In other words, this was real tshuva. They understood the mistake they did. Being, how do you say, apathetic. Now there was fire. The heart was in it. Not just knowledge. The knowledge was connected to the heart. In other words, connecting knowledge with heart is a lot of things. But it makes a difference. You know something? You have to act accordingly through the heart. And who is telling you what to do? That's the other problem. One of the opinions is that why did Am Yisrael sin in the golden calf? Moshe Rabbeinu is not there. They don't know what to do. But if you remember, they saw things that no other generation saw. They saw God. They saw what you see, Maaseh HaMerkava, the carriage of heaven. And then they saw that there are four figures around the carriage. And one of those figures is an ox, a cow, an egel. The golden calf, really, didn't know how to connect to God. How do we connect with God? Moshe Rabbeinu is not here. So you know what we do?
We build
a different connection.
What? This is new for me. I never heard about this.
So now you're here?
Yeah.
They saw four figures?
There is the carriage of God.
Carriage.
The Merkava. It's called the Merkava.
Okay.
This is in Kabbalah.
Okay.
Now, the Merkava is not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing, but it has a physical explanation. Mm-hmm. Now, around the Merkava, there are four figures that are carrying the Merkava. Mm-hmm. One of those figures is an ox. You have to understand, everything is a symbol. So, in other words, also this golden calf they created was not really them worshipping the golden calf, but connecting, that was the idea, connect to God through the golden calf. And it's still a statue, and they were taught not to build the statue. Huh?
Didn't the Egyptians also have one of their idols as a
probably?
Yes, but that doesn't matter. You know, we're trying to understand what's going on here, and we have to understand
but these
that
the people came from Egypt, and they were.
One of the opinions says that the people from Egypt and they were tall sorcerers, and they did the whole thing, and no Jew was a part of
that's
it.
Not
I'm not talking if it's true or not true. You see, the whole idea is what do we learn from it? You see, it's not a story.
No.
We always say it. It's a lesson. How do we learn from it? So one of the point is, why do we talking about the golden calf? And why do we connect it to the generation of knowledge? And why do we suffer till now about it? And what is our lesson from it? Our lesson is very simple. The problem is, they thought they know everything. They had a lot of knowledge. They just saw God. They got the Torah from heaven himself, from God himself. So they were on top of the world. So they thought that they can decide to do things in the way they think it is. And God didn't tell them. So in other words, God is telling us, it's like, we talked about it, a pilot, you know what vertigo is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't suffer from time.
Okay, but this is a disease also that pilots suffer from. That suddenly they lose connection with reality. And they think that they are flying up like this, but the real truth is that they're upside down and they're flying down. And they crash. And a lot of accidents happen like this. So how do you, I always didn't understand why did those pilots need so many watches and clocks and things. Because they have to check all of those things in order to be in connection with reality. Otherwise, they lose connection because you saw you're up there in the air. You don't really know what is your position. You know, you're flying in a very high speed. And as you know, when you go in the in all those amusement parks, you go on this thing that goes around. You stick to the chair, but you're upside down. But you still stick to the chair.
Like the rabbi from Chabad, he used to hold a
handkerchief.
Yes. In the pocket, because to be
connected
here, because if not, he was.
So, in other words, if you haven't got all those watches and all those signs that are going to tell you what is reality by yourself, you haven't got the power to find the right way. For us, it's the Torah. If you don't go according to the Torah, you get vertigo, and you go somewhere else. That's why in Parashat Pikudei, we see all the time, Kaasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. Kaasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. Kaasher Tziva, again, again, and again. Why? To tell us, this is tshuva on the golden calf. You build the Mishkan, you connect the heart with the wisdom, but you don't do what you think is the right thing to do, but you do exactly what the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moses. And that's the way we should live. We should connect our heart with the mind, connect what the knowledge with the body, according to the Torah, and then that's the way we build the Mishkan.
Right. What happened?